ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो देयर इज नो स्पेसिफिक मीटर फॉर टुडेज वर्ड्स, सो आई विल स्टार्ट विद द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन डायरेक्टली। जस्ट टू रिपीट फॉर इफ आई एम नाउ आई होप आई एम आई विल बी ऑन।
Yes, we are on.
Yeah, signals are coming. Okay, yes. Good. So we are on chapter 5, text number 34. Chapter 5, canto 5, chapter 18 and text number 34. Uttareshu,
Uttareshu.
On the northern side.
On the northern side.
Cha. Also.
Also.
Kurushu.
Kurushu.
In the tract of land known as Kuru.
In the tract of land known as Kuru.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality
of Godhead. Yajna Purusha.
Yajna Purusha.
Who accepts all results of sacrifices.
Who accepts all results of sacrifices.
Krita Varaha Rupa.
Krita Varaha Rupa.
Having accepted the form of a boar.
Having accepted the form of a boar.
Aste.
Aste.
Exists eternally.
Exists
tam,
him,
tu,
certainly,
Devi, the goddess, her,
certainly,
Esha,
this,
Bhu,
planet Earth,
Saha,
along with,
Kurubhi,
the
inhabitants of the land known as Kuru,
inhabitants of the land known as Kuru.
Ashkalita,
unfailing,
Bhakti Yogena, by devotional service.
By devotional
thank
service.
You. Upadhavati, worship, Imam,
this.
Cha, also,
Paramam
Upanishadam,
the Supreme Upanishad,
the process by which one can approach the Lord. Avartayati. Chants again and again. For the purpose of practice. Translation. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sukadeva Goswami said, "Dear King, the Supreme Lord, in his boar incarnation, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambudvip. There, in the tract of land known as Uttarakuru Varsha, Mother Earth and all the other inhabitants worship him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishad mantra." There is no purport to this, so we will read the translation of text number 35 as well. So translation of text 35 is as follows. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you as the gigantic person. Because it's a prayer, I'll just read the Sanskrit also, if you don't mind. Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yajna Kratave Maha Dvarava Yavaya Mahapurushaya Namaha Karma Shuklaya Triyugaya Namaste. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. You are yajna, sacrifice, and you are the kratu, ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body, and you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Tri Yuga because in Kali Yuga you appeared as a concealed incarnation, and because you always fully possess the three pairs of opulences. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for this age of Kali, as confirmed in many places throughout the Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Upanishads. The summary of his appearance is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 6.99, as follows.
Kali Yuga Leela Avatar Nakare Bhagavan Atayeva Tri Yuga Kari Kahi Taranam.
In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Bhagavan does not appear as a Leela Avatar, an incarnation to display pastimes. Therefore, he is known as Tri Yuga. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age of Kali as a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he is called a concealed incarnation or Channa Avatara.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripa Tammaham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. Vanchakal Pataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, Canto 5, Chapter 18, and the specific text for today, which is verse 34 and 35. In these verses, elaboration of Vedic cosmology is continuing. The earthly planetary system is one out of several planetary systems. Bhur, Bhuva, Swaha, Maha, Janaha, Tapaha, Satyam on top, and then below there are subterranean heavenly planets, and then below that there is Pitrulok, and then there is 26 hellish planets, and then there is Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, on whose navel everything is resting. He is the Virata Purusha. So the focus is on Bhumandal at this point in time, but there is a specific focus on certain aspects of Bhumandal. Bhumandal has got various islands, out of which the central island is called as Jambudvip. And this chapter is talking about the residents of Jambudvip who are offering prayers. Now within Jambudvip there are various tracts of land. Each tract of land is known as a Varsha. And each Varsha has got a predominating deity, a prominent worshipper, and specific prayers. So we have seen up until now various Varshas, their deities, and the prayers thereof. So
So we saw Bhadrashrava Varsha, where Bhadrashrava is the devotee and Lord Hayagriva is the presiding deity. We saw Hari Varsha, where we saw Prahalad Maharaj is the worshipper, Lord Narsingadev is the worshipable deity. We saw Ketumala Varsha, where Lord Rishikesh as Cupid is the predominating deity, and the goddess of fortune and the demigods are worshipping him. We saw Ramyaka Varsha, where we saw Manu and all the inhabitants are the worshippers, with Matsya Dev being the worshipable deity. Then we saw Hiranyamaya Varsha, where we saw Lord Vishnu as Kurma Murti. He is the worshipable deity and he is being worshipped by the devotee whose name is Aryama. Today we are starting a new Varsha, which is called as Uttara Kuru Varsha. And who is the worshipable deity? Lord Hari, who has assumed the form of a boar, who is none other than Varahadev. Shila Varahadev Bhagavan ki jai. And in that form of Lord Varaha, the Lord accepts worship from all the inhabitants who are living there, transcendental worship. So, the details of Lord Varahadev's appearance is given in Canto 3. There are several chapters which are dedicated to that. But because today is the appearance of Srila, reappearance of Srila Varahadev in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will invest few minutes on that, and then we will go to the purport also, where we'll talk about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then today is the auspicious Tirobhav Mahotsav of Raghunandan Thakur Acharya as well as Vamsidas Babaji. So we will talk about four personalities today. We will talk about Varahadev, we will talk about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will talk about Raghunandan Thakur Acharya and Vamsidas Babaji. So let us start with Varahadev's pastime very quickly. Very interesting pastime. So why did Lord Varahadev appear? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata paritranaya sadhuna vinashayata duskritam. Hiranyaksha was creating havoc in the universe. A very dangerous demonic personality. Right. Probably number one and number two. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So what he had done was, he had exploited the earth, and the earth had gone into the bottom of the ocean, Garbhodaka ocean, and the earth had to be rescued. Obviously, as Prajapati, it Swayambhu Manu took accountability for the condition of the earth. So he rushed to his manager, who is Lord Brahmaji. Manager said, I cannot do anything. This is grave situation. Lord Brahmaji said, it is beyond my scope to do anything here. Too critical a problem. So therefore, what happened? Lord Brahmaji sat in meditation. When we don't know what to do, what do? We sit in meditation and then we call out to the Lord for help. So Lord Brahmaji was meditating on the Lord, and as he was meditating, what happened? From one of his nostrils appeared a tiny boar. Who is Lord Varahadev? So tiny boar size. How tiny? The thumb nostril. Thumb. The tip of a thumb came. That size from the nostril. Like that. So he came out. Just like the Lord did in the Matsya Avatar. What happened? When he came out, he had a particular size. Then he went on increasing. So similarly, what happened? The Lord kept on growing. Like the size of a mountain. Mountain is actually very small. He went, kept on growing. He was covering, the cosmos like that. Huge. Varahadev. So, obviously, when the demigods saw this, they realized this is not an ordinary boar. Okay. We know what is the condition of an ordinary boar. We don't see boars or pigs on the road in Melbourne. But we see ample in India. They are roaming outside your house only. Right? And nobody respects them. Right? Everyone is like, shoo, shoo, like that. So that is the condition of a boar or a pig. But this is not an ordinary pig. This is a transcendental boar. This is Lord Vishnu himself. So demigods are realizing this is not an ordinary boar. Okay, otherwise they would have condemned. So even Lord, even Indra also had to come in that form, but that was because of his material desires. He had to take birth. And Brahmaji came and said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Don't disturb me now. I am living in the gutter, happy with my piglets." So this is not that kind of boar, right? This is a different boar. So that same demigods can understand that this is the Bhagavan himself. So immediately, spontaneously, they start offering prayers to Lord Varahadev. So there are prayers here in today's Varsha, which is Uttara Kuru Varsha, which we will see. There were prayers then when originally Lord Varahadev appeared. So the demigods are, you know, offering prayers to Varahadev. And what did Varahadev do? He glanced at them. He glanced at the demigods. And when the Lord's glance appears on us, what goes out of the window? Fear. Fear goes flying out when there is Lord's glance. So to alleviate their fear, the Lord glanced at them. Now, as we said, there is a lot of discussion about boar being an abominable creature. For example, I was hearing a lecture by His Holiness Adhanath Swami Maharaj a few years back on Varahadev's appearance day. He was saying that usually, you know, people keep so many pets. Of course, dog is also kept as a pet here. But either they keep as a pet or they put a photograph. I remember in one of my friend's house, he used to have a photograph of a stallion. Stallion is like a beautiful horse, like that. So many rich people, they keep photographs of all these animals. But nobody will keep photograph of a pig in the house, correct? We have never seen like that, correct? So ordinarily a boar, which is not highly respected, here we see that the demigods are worshipping this particular form of a boar. Because this boar is not an ordinary boar, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead here. And this boar is very differently manifested than an ordinary boar because of the Achintya Shakti of the Lord. That is why this size of a boar is also not found here. Like Sri Chaitanya Prabhu was mentioning about Matsya Avatar the other day. This is not the ordinary size of a fish. The largest fish is the blue whale. No? It is some foot feet long. But he was saying it was millions of miles long. So therefore, Sri Varahadev was also huge. No ordinary boar can have that kind of a size. So the Lord, for the Lord to manifest this form is nothing. Because he manifests from the pores of his body, millions and billions of universes which are much bigger. Like that. And he makes all these universes also float. So this is Achintya Shakti of the Lord. So when the demigods worshipped Lord Varahadev, when he appeared, he glanced at us and told them that, "Don't worry, be fearless." And then what did the Lord do? The gigantic form, he dived into the ocean. He dived into the ocean. And when he dived into the ocean, it is described that it appeared as if the ocean was being pierced into two parts. It was so spontaneous, like that. And then he went right below. He lifted the earth upon his beautiful white tusks. And then he began to carry the earth to the top of the ocean. In Jayadev who wrote Ashtapati, in his Dasha Avatara Stotra specifically, he has sung of this avatara of the Lord. What does he say? He says, Vasati Dashana Shikare Dharani Tavalagna Shashini Kalanka Kalevani Magna Keshavadrita Shukararupa Keshavadrita Shukararupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a boar, all glories to you. The earth, which has become immersed in the Garbhodaka ocean at the bottom of the universe, sits fixed upon the tips of your tusk like a spot upon the moon. like a spot upon the moon. Maitreya Muni is explaining this whole pastime to Vidur. And he is giving a live relay, live commentary. Like in cricket, we have that live commentary going on. Like that, he is giving ball by ball commentary. This is not ball by ball, this is blow by blow commentary. Okay, Maitreya Muni is giving blow by blow account of this great battle which happened between Varahadeva and Hiranyaksha. Now, one of the aspects he is glorifying, Bhagavan means Aishwarya, Samagrasya, Virasya, Aishashriya, Jnana Vairagya, Shaiva, Shannam Bhaga, Itingana. One of the glories of the Lord is Vairagya. Not only is the Lord powerful, but the Lord is very humble and he is very renounced also. Okay. So, he is bringing out this aspect of the Lord. How? Because as the Lord was working on bringing the earth up, he doesn't have to bring, but he doesn't have to work on it, he could have brought it by his mind also. But still, the Lord is doing this pastime. But as he was bringing the earth up, Hiranyaksha was unleashing terrible humiliation on the Lord. Terrible humiliation from this monstrous demon who was insulting him with the most piercing, frightening words. And what did the Lord do? If someone tells us, for example, in Mumbai I have seen, when somebody is driving a car, Radhesham Prabhu was once saying, I was hearing a class, he was saying, I was sitting on the back seat of the car and I was working on my laptop, and the driver, temple driver, he was driving. And in India sometimes, you know, those bikes cut you like this from the side. The bike cut or something, like something happened and somehow it touched the car, what is the side frame. Nothing happened, it just shook little bit and, you know. So the driver immediately stopped the car and then he looked out the window and he abused and mother and father. Devotee driver only. Spontaneous. Spontaneous abuse. Okay. So that fellow also, he anyway, if devotee is abusing non-devotee, what he will do? He also stopped his bike, he looked back and he also started abusing. Right, and this went on. And then finally, you know, the driver realized that Radhesham Prabhu is sitting behind. And he said, oh my goodness, what did I tell? And then, you know, he also continued and this driver also continued. And after some time, the driver felt a little bit guilty. He said, I have to break the silence because Radhesham Prabhu didn't say anything to him. So he said, Prabhuji, sorry. Huh? Like, oh, what to do? What he did, therefore I did. No. So, because he did, I also did, Prabhuji, like that. So, Prabhuji said that, you are asking me a question or are you? Or are you just, you are just telling for my information what you did, justifying like that. No. So like that conversation went on. Of course, if I go into the detail, it will be too long. But in short, Radhesham Prabhu systematically then cut the ignorance, you know, of this particular person. Hmm. So so like that, spontaneously what will happen is, someone, if we are engaged in activity, that too, Bombay driving is a very critical roads, correct? So anyway, you can touch anyone like that. So Lord Varahadeva is bringing up this earth and somebody is keeping on cursing you. What will you do? You can say, put the earth for a minute and say, excuse me. Kya bola? What did you say? Huh? Say that again. Fir bol? Like that, you know. This is what the reaction is. But Lord Varahadeva is just hearing all these things. He is just hearing because what? He is focused right now on protecting his devotees. He is focused on his task. So the Lord is showing this. Tolerance, patience, humility. He's saying, I'm going to ignore whatever nonsense this fellow is talking. I'm going to focus on my service to my devotees. So the Lord is exhibiting this characteristic, Varahadeva. Like that. So first what he did, he allowed this fellow to talk all nonsense. He placed the earth in its proper place. And then he said, okay, what were you saying, by the way? I'll come now. And he started the great fight between Lord and Hiranyaksha starts. And Radhanath Maharaj was telling in that lecture that this is greater than any Olympic federation organizing a wrestling or a boxing match. All kinds of mixed martial arts were going on there. Brazilian, what is that? Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Taekwondo, everything was going. Lord was punching, everything was going on between both of them, right? And obviously, because the Lord had empowered Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha was also to be able to give a tough battle to the Lord. By the mercy of the Lord only. He is only the giver of ability. And the Lord was doing this. And Lord was also taking blows. Lord was also giving blows. Maces were being, you know, striking with each other, like that. And it is said that they were making a deafening sound, you know, in the entire universe, like that. So now all this fight, what was happening? It was appearing the Lord was getting injured. And obviously when the Lord gets injured, the demigods were actually wondering, what will happen to the Lord now? Anxiety building up now. Like the last over in a test match. Like that. Or a one day international. What is the World Cup? Everything. Tension was building up. The demigods were seeing that the Lord was also going like this. Lord was looking actually as if, you know, it's a very tough battle and what will happen now? So, the demigods started praying to the Lord. Again, another prayer. In anxiety, they started praying to the Lord only. Okay. And then, as they were praying to the Lord, Hiranyakashipu upped the ant. What did he do? He created a maya of catastrophic illusions everywhere. Like that. So, thunderbolt, rain, all inauspicious signs he created. So, the demigods were even more worried. Actually, it is said that the demigods were on the brink of a nervous breakdown. They saw that. Such was the catastrophe. Demigods thought we are finished now with this person. And at that time, immediately what did the Lord do? First, he released Sudarshan Chakra. By the power of the Sudarshan Chakra, he made the catastrophic illusion disappear. He could have cut the head of Hiranyaksha also. No, he didn't do that. Because this is Varaha incarnation. So, what the Lord did? He just made that disappear with the Sudarshan. And then what happened? It is said that the Lord gently touched, like that, gently touched him behind the ear with the hoof. In Hindi, we, in Bombay especially, we call Kaan ke niche bajaya. Kaan ke niche bajaya, usually it's said when a man is harassing a lady and padak, the lady gives him one. Kaan ke niche bajaya. Like that, this was Lord, but that is still little bit anger is there. Here the Lord is touching with the thing. And then what happened? Immediately Hiranyaksha was unconscious just with that touch. Then one may wonder, why all this fight? This is the Lord's Leela. He decided to do it. As long as he wanted, he did that. Correct? Entertainment for everyone. So he just touched and Hiranyaksha went unconscious. And then what happened? The Lord pierced Hiranyaksha with his tusk. And then he killed. And Hiranyaksha fell. Like a banyan tree uprooted by the wind. He fell down dead. Everyone was very relieved with this pastime of the killing of Hiranyaksha, deliverance of Hiranyaksha. So relieved that all the demigods started showering flowers. And as they started showering flowers, what happened? Lord Varahadev started ascending into the sky. And as he was ascending into the sky, he started assuming a bluish form. First of all, there is a boar. Now, you will not see a blue boar anywhere. But this is bluish form, he started assuming. And it is said that this bluish form, like a tamal tree. Bluish tamal tree form. Why did he do that? He wanted to assure the demigods, because demigods are now worried. So much of fights, Lord Narayan or somebody else. He sent someone else like that. So don't worry. Bluish complexion, I am your Lord Narayan. He gave assurance to the Lord. And immediately on seeing the bluish form, everyone was assured that this is Lord Narayan himself. And again a set of prayers came from the demigods. After receiving these prayers from everyone and receiving worship from the demigods, the Lord returned back to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Lord Varade Bhagavan ki. The second personality that is mentioned in the next purport today is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here it is said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is concealed incarnation or Channa Avatara. One of the best renditions of this I heard very recently with His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj in that gas works. Amazing two classes Maharaj gave there. Can never forget that. And what a kirtan it was, right? I don't know, all of you were there, I'm sure, there. So it was wonderful. So I'm going to speak. Yesterday I just dug out Maharaja's notes and just some key points on this purport. So Maharaj explained very beautifully that Mahaprabhu, Lord Mahaprabhu is called as Triyuga and he comes as a concealed incarnation, Channa Avatara, which is pretty much what this purport is all about. So Maharaj explained that when Lord Krishna wants to experience separation, he manifests as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to be the supreme enjoyer, he manifests as Lord Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So, Maharaj explained that Lord Krishna showed Vraj Leela when he came down. In the 10th canto is all about the Vrindavan pastimes of the Lord. So the Lord demonstrated all kinds of pastimes, all kinds of rasas were demonstrated by the Lord in his nar-like pastimes on this earth. However, he said the Lord did not give any detailed explanation of those pastimes. That is number one. He demonstrated, no doubt, but there was no explanation of the pastime. But the third aspect is, Lord Krishna did not distribute that pastimes. How to achieve that pastime? Where did Lord Krishna distribute that? Right? So, he did not distribute the taste of his own loving pastimes, which is Vraja Bhav. The Lord Krishna in that form did not distribute this. So, he wanted to do all these things in the form of Lord Chaitanya. He says, when I appear as Lord Chaitanya, I will do all that. I will relish these pastimes. I will taste these pastimes. And I will also distribute these pastimes. So, Maharaj was explaining that this is the mystery of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is how he is different. In one sense, his incarnation is different to Lord Krishna's incarnation at that point in time. Though both are one and the same personality. Experiencing, tasting and distributing. So, in Chaitanya Leela, Lord Krishna changes his position from enjoyer to being enjoyed. This was the second point that Maharaj said. From enjoyer to one who is being enjoyed. And also he demonstrates how we should live our lives and surrender to the Lord and how we can also attain that state. Those states of transcendental mellows. Yadi gaurna hoito, tabe ki hoito. Kemo ne dharitam de. Radhar mahima, prema rasa seema, jagate janata. Without Mahaprabhu, how would we know this? So, he came to especially distribute this highest aspect of surrender or raga bhakti. That too, to the most fallen people in the age of Kali Yuga. We were studying the 12th canto currently. We just finished our exams of 12th canto till chapter 7. Now, last 6 chapters are left in the Bhakti Vedanta. Right? So, chapter 7 is very horrible. I mean, horrible in the sense, not first 7 chapters, horrible in the sense, very scary to see what is the future of Kali Yuga. So, definitely, one is bound to get detached. If one has not got love after 10th canto, one will definitely get fear from 12th canto as an incentive to go back to Godhead. So, thankfully, in one sense, Kali Yuga is that fearful. Because if Kali Yuga wouldn't have been like that, people who do not otherwise get the incentive to go back to Godhead, even after hearing the 10th canto, what incentive they will have to go back to Godhead? So, therefore, Kali Yuga is again giving us fear and detaching us from any iota of tendency to enjoy this material world. Now, obviously, in such a Kali Yuga, which is terrible, horrible, where there is prayana, alpa, ayusha, sabhya, kalo, asmin, yuge, janaha, manda, sumanda, mataya, manda, bhagyahi, upadrutaha, where people are dull, their mind is all disturbed, everyone is quarrelsome, everyone has short lifespan. So, there we need an easy process of going back to Godhead. This is exactly what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us. He gave us the easy process and he gave us the highest attainment out of an easy process. The highest attainment in education in India, for example, is the IIT joint entrance exam or the IIM Ahmedabad CAT exam, right? It's huge labor to do that. People go out of their house and go for coaching classes from 9th standard itself. For 4 years, people are going for coaching classes away from parents from year 9 to get into IIT at the end of year 12. So, the attainment is very high, but the process is also very difficult. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the attainment of Gopi Bhav, and that too at a process is very easy. Prabhupada said, simply chant 16 rounds, follow the 4 regulative principles, don't commit offenses. That's all. And you will go back to Godhead. If you do this sincerely, even if you don't get through the front door, I will take you. I will recommend you. provided you follow this basic thing. That itself is a big struggle. It's a different issue. Right? But the process is very easy. Attaining Raga Bhakti or Gopi Bhav, and that too, a very easy process. So, Dharma Samsthapan Arthaya. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the Kaliyuga Dharma, which is Harinam Sankirtan, which is very, very easy. So, what it is said in 12th canto, whatever was easily attained by meditation in Satya Yuga, whatever was easily attained by temple worship or worship, sorry, by sacrifices in Treta Yuga, by worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord in Dwapar Yuga, can be easily attained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to inaugurate and give us this. However, most of the pastimes of the Lord, whatever he did as a devotee. So, to only very confidential associates of his, he revealed the Mahaprakash Leela and all that. He revealed himself as the Supreme Lord. Even when he was sitting with Ramanand Rai in the conversations also, he acted as if he was very ignorant. And he was asking Ramanand Rai, what is the highest? But, obviously the Lord was, from the way the Lord was questioning, the Lord was goading him. And gradually, to come to the highest, description of bhakti. And Ramanand Rai was also saying, who am I telling you? You are only the person who is asking, you are the only person who is speaking through me. Like that. So, Channa Avatara. So, the Lord is hiding His Godhood. That is why He is called as Channa Avatara. And in this Channa Avatara, He is giving the highest Gopi Bhav. Which in one sense is the epitome of selflessness in love of Godhead. So, that is the second verse purport. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki?
Jai.
Now, we will come to the appearance day of the first personality. Who is none other than? Raghunandan Thakur Mahashaya. Let us talk about him. Very beautiful. These two personalities, amazing, very inspiring. So, the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, around chapter 15 or so, mentions of three exalted devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who are they? Srila Mukunda Das, Srila Madhava Das, and Sri Narahari Sarkar. Three devotees. All of them lived in a village of Shrikhanda, it is said. And Raghunandan Thakur was born in 1510, the same year as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Srirangam. The same year he appeared in this world, on Vasanta Panchami, as the son of Mukunda Das. Otherwise they were all brothers. Mukunda Das, Madhav Das, Narahari Sarkar, they were all brothers. So, he was born as a son of Mukunda Das. Now, Mukunda Das himself was a very exalted devotee. The Gaura Ganodesha Deepika says that he was Vrinda Devi. But in this pastime, in his earthly pastime, Mukunda Das, who was his father, was the doctor in the assembly of the Muslim king. And he was such an exalted personality that even on seeing a peacock feather, he used to faint. Like that. And everyone knew and acknowledged him. He was acknowledged as a very, very advanced Vaishnava. This was his father. And now the son, Raghunandan Thakur, born to him. It is said that Raghunandan Thakur is Kandarpa Manjari in Vraj Leela. From the word itself, you would have understood who he is. Kandarpa means who? Cupid. So, Kandarpa Manjari in Vraj Leela. So, therefore, in Dwarka Leela, he automatically manifested as Cupid or Pradyumna. That was in Dwarka Leela, as the son of the Lord. But he said that he had another form even in Sakhya Ras as Ujjwal Priya Narmasakha. So three forms he had. Now, in the very childhood, Raghunandan Thakur was taken to Nilachal to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a very small child, he went there. As soon as Lord Chaitanya saw him, Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda Das, who is father? You or him? Like that. So Mukunda Das understood what is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deepest meaning of inquiry. He said, yes Mahaprabhu, you are right. It's a rhetorical question. You are right. He is my father. Why? And then Mahaprabhu explained, yes, you are correct. Whoever explains to you the Krishna conscious philosophy is your father. Whoever helps you in your coming closer to Krishna. It doesn't go by age like that. Okay. Of course, Mukundadas himself was very exalted. So when we should not then look down upon Mukundadas. Oh, who was he? He was fainting on seeing a peacock, father. Right? When I see a peacock, then I'll take a photo and a selfie with the peacock. Last thing will happen is fainting, correct? Thinking of the Lord, right? So we are busy admiring his creation and admiring the material world. But here is an exalted personality. So, but still in front of him, he says that my son is my father. Therefore, you can imagine what is the exalted nature of Raghunatha. That too, Mahaprabhu is spotting that. First time meeting. Now, even more glorious is that in the first meeting itself, what happened? That small boy, Raghunandan Thakur, he sees Mahaprabhu's beauty now. And spontaneously he starts composing verses. Small boy, composing verse. How is it possible? Right? He says that he describes the beauty of this incarnation of Lord Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and says that your beauty beats even the beauty of Cupid personified. Who is Cupid? He himself. Raghunandan Thakur. Now see, Cupid is glorifying the Lord like that. Okay. And then he says that I wish your dancing figure ever remains in my mind. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with the spontaneous composition of Raghunandan Thakur that he entrusted him on the spot, he entrusted him with the service of his personal deity Gopinath. On the spot. And how his deity was worshipped? By plucking kadamba flowers out of the tree which was growing outside. Now this is a seasonal flower which comes in 2 months. Savan and Bhado. 2 months it comes in. But since Mahaprabhu had given this instruction, that tree used to give these flowers all 12 months of the year. And Raghunandan Thakur is to go, take these flowers and worship the deities. Very, very special personality. Of course, the most famous pastime of Raghunandan Thakur was when his father one day had to go out for some work. And Mukundadas was extremely particular about deity worship. Very pakka. Very high standards of deity worship. Right? And then he had to go out one day. So it was a circumstance. So what he did, he called his son, Raghunandan Thakur, and he said, he was a small boy. He said that, look, very, very important, huh? Look, don't do any gadbad, don't do any mistake, right? This deity has been worshipped since generations by our family. High standards are there. I will explain to you and I will go do it perfect. Raghunandan Thakur said, okay. So he took everything and then his father went. So as explained by his father, he took the bhoga. As per the processes of Pancharatriki Vidhi, everything was done perfectly. And then ting, 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 everything over. And then he said, you have to go out. So he went out. After some time came in. Nothing. The plate is still there. Bhoga is still there. Then he got scared. He said, did I do something wrong? My father had explained to me. I said, everything correct. So he looked at the deity and said, eat no. Why you are not eating? Like that. And just the simplicity of that particular request. Eat no. Why you are not eating? Like that. With complete innocence and with full faith. That prayer. Simplicity, innocence, faith. This was the ingredient. Immediately, Lord came out. And what happened? He started eating. And when there is faith, there is no bewilderment. Gopal is eating. I asked you to eat, you eat. If I invite you to my house and you eat, nothing is going to be bewildering for me there. Correct? So he ate. And then the Lord went inside. So then he said, okay, thank you, Hari Bol. So came out. But after some time, father came. He said, did you offer? And I offered. Okay, thank you. Okay, so he told, okay, bring the Mahaprasadam. He said, what Mahaprasadam? Lord has eaten everything. He said, what? So, Mukundas himself is, little bit faith is being tested. But Mukundas, his first faith was not in the Lord. His first faith was in his son. He said, my son is not this mischievous fellow, you know, like the teenagers of today. He is not like that. He will not tell something, you know, or he will not play tricks towards me, right? So he said, this son is very innocent. He is very, you know, very truthful and very sadhu kind of boy. Why will he, you know, bluff? But still something was there. Something is going on here. So he had a doubt that maybe Lord has eaten, not eaten. But maybe he has eaten. You know, he was vacillating in his thoughts. So one day when he went out, he said, again I am going out now. He said, He didn't actually go out for anything. He went out and hid behind somewhere. Okay, on the pretext of going out, and he gave the same instructions to him. He said, now this time he gave a laddu. He said, you offer this laddu to the Lord. So Raghunandan Thakur said, okay. So he offered the laddu. And then what happened? Mukundas was looking from outside. Okay, and he saw actually the deity came out and started eating the laddu. Half the laddu had been finished, and the Lord looked, Mukundas is now looking at me. He dropped it and went away. Actually, he took the laddu and went away, it said. And disappeared from the vision. Then Mukundas realized, my goodness, who is this, my son or what? What is this? So many years I have done, Lord never did this. Now, that half laddu, it is said, some people say that it is still there. But we need divine eyes to see that half laddu of the Lord. People have still seen that half laddu. Okay. So, because that deity is still worshipped like that. So this is how exalted Raghunandan Thakur was. So it is mentioned that Raghunandan Thakur participated in the festival which was held in Srikhanda. In this and he used to also participate in the Keturi festival, which was organized by Lord Raghunath Das Goswami, right? He only served under Lord Nityananda's instructions. Now, one of the interesting pastimes is his meeting with Abhiram Gopal. Now, all of us remember that Abhiram Gopal was another exalted personality. Who was he? He was Sridhama Sakha, Abhiram Das, Thakur. So, Abhiram Gopal Thakur. So, he had a whip. The whip's name was Jay Mangal. And whoever used to get whipped by that, used to get prema, ecstatic prema. Now, obviously, you know, he had a habit, Abhiram Thakur, of whenever he heard about some exalted personality, he used to go there and touch them with the whip, okay, to enhance their ecstasy. But sometimes, some rascals who were sahajiyas, okay, they used to get exposed also by that whip. So, in general, people are scared of that whip. Kali Yuga is going on, no? Kali Yuga sahajiyas are more. So, people were scared of that whip, okay. So, when he heard about Raghunandan Thakur, he said, I want to see this and take darshan and pay obeisances to him. That was his mood, Abhiram Das, okay, Gopal Thakur. So he came all the way. And as the mother of Raghunandan Thakur, every mother is very protective about the child, no? Whatever it is. Okay. So he may be an exalted devotee. For a mother, it is only child, no? So mother got very anxious. This is why this Abhiram Das, this Gopal is coming. That too, why he is bringing his whip. What happens if it happened to my son, like that, right? So, but still he came, and when and then so she was kind of keeping hiding the son. But when Abhiram Thakur came, and when Raghunandan Thakur saw him, spontaneously two Vaishnavas will come together, right? Immediately both of them came together, and both of them started dancing. It is described that dance was so wild. So wild was the dancing that the Nupur which he was wearing, who Raghunandan Thakur, it flew 4 miles away. Some people say 2, some people say 4. But 2 is also big. 2 miles away is also big. Nobody will argue, Prabhu, what was 2 only? 2 miles which Nupur, even if we, that, what is that, Olympic man, that fellow is throwing, that field, what is that? Short putt or that javelin. That also will not go 2 miles, right? And even if you give him Nupur, I don't think 2 miles, the strongest fellow will. So this Nupur, by that dancing, it went 2 miles away, like that. So this is only Lord Krishna can do. Lord Krishna's Nupur also used to go like that, and Mother Yashoda always used to find Nupur missing, you know, at the end of the day. Yes, where have you danced and come? Where have you missed it? She used to chastise the Lord. So, and then, wherever that Nupur fell, there is a kund that was created there, and that is called as Nupur Kund. And today it is said that Nupur is still there and it is being worshipped in a temple over there. Now, already this Kirtan is wild, already he is dancing wild, Nupur has flown away. On top of then what Abhiram Thakur did? He removed the whip. Now he touched. Now what happened? Further, we can only imagine what happened now. Right? such levels of ecstasy both of them went to that the mother got bewildered. She said, what is going on? Stop it, please stop. Stop this ecstasy, because she thought her son will die in this ecstasy. Such ecstatic symptoms Raghunandan Thakur was manifesting that mother requested to stop. So then thankfully, you know, mother's request nobody can, you know, deny. Said, okay, it stopped. And then they looked at each other and embraced each other. Raghunandan Thakur and Abhiram Gopal Thakur. And it is said that that embrace lasted for hours and hours. But mother was happy. At least, no, embrace is okay. Safer option. The Bhakti Ratnakar mentions of one other pastime of Raghunandan Thakur. It is said that Raghunandan Thakur was very attached to Srinivas Acharya. And therefore, he organized a Bhagavat Katha on the day of Ekadashi. And he requested Srinivas Acharya to speak. So, the lecture was given. Everyone was ecstatic. But in that, another personality, great personality, Veerabhadra, was present. Lord Nityananda's son. He was present in that. And a kirtan started after that. Now, who arranged for the kirtan? It is said, Raghunandan Thakur arranged for that kirtan. So what he did, he touched all the instruments and he applied kumkum, chandan, all these things. He worshipped all the paraphernalia before the kirtan. Now you can imagine, when he did that and Raghunandan Thakur's mercy is there on that kirtan, what happened to the kirtan? Another ecstatic. Ecstatic kirtan. So ecstatic that Veerabhadra, Lord Nityananda's son, started dancing, and it was, people were witnessing with 50 eyes, you know, when he was dancing. There was a blind man who was asking, Kima Kurvata Sanjaya, like that. He was asking, Kima Kurvata Veerabhadra. So he said, what is going on? Describe me every movement of Veerabhadra. What is going on in the dance? And one devotee was narrating this great dance, ecstatic dance, to this blind man. But what happened? By the mercy of the Lord, the blind man's eagerness was so much that by the mercy of Veerabhadra, he got his eyesight. And then he was also able to. That was the kind of kirtan that was there. And this was Raghunandan Thakur's mercy. But it started all these things, right? Blind man also got his vision. Subsequently, Raghunandan Thakur prepared a huge feast for everyone. And the next day was Dwadashi. That also he prepared. Huge feast, and everyone was fed. Now, by the time this Dwadashi happened, remember that there were three personalities in the beginning. One was Narahari Sarkar, right? Madhav Das, Narahari Sarkar, brothers. Narahari Sarkar had already left the world. But Raghunandan Thakur was very attached to his uncle. So what he did, he knew there was a samadhi there of Narahari Thakur. So he took the prasadam, prasadam after offering, and then he offered it to the deity of, to in the samadhi of Narahari Sarkar. And what happened? Narahari Sarkar appeared there in his celestial form, you know, and gave darshan to Raghunandan Thakur. So this was the power of this boy. And then from there he travelled to the Kheturi festival. In the final days, he had a great desire to again meet Srinivas Acharya. So he met Srinivas Acharya. Raghunandan Thakur met Srinivas Acharya. And in the conversation, he started predicting how great Srinivas Acharya will be, how successful he will be as a preacher. And then, again, another transcendental kirtan happened. And then he started dancing, Raghunandan Thakur. As he was dancing in the kirtan, his size kept on reducing. And in the front of everyone, it became small, and he disappeared. That was the disappearance of Raghunandan Thakur. And this happened, it is mentioned, it happened by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who also was present. Like that. Lord Chaitanya personally took him back. Like that. So that was his disappearance on Shravan Chaturthi day. Raghunandan Thakur's son, none other than the exalted Kanai Thakur, his name was. And his descendants, it is said, are still residing in Shrikhand. So, Srila Raghunandan Thakur Acharya ki.
Yeah.
We come to the final one. Today is also the Tirova Mahotsava of Vamsidas Babaji. Another exalted personality. And when we hear this, again, so much inspiration we get. Right? Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj was a completely unconventional person. Like Gaurakeshwar Das Babaji Maharaj. Avadut Sadhu. Nobody can do any nonsense in front of him. Complete cutting. Cut like that. Avadut Sadhu. Now, interesting was that he used to live during the same time as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. You know, Thakur was there in the planet. Siddha Mahatma. And he was in the lineage of Narottam Das Thakur. Like that. And whole day, Vamsidas Babaji will continue singing songs from Prarthana of Narottam Das Thakur. And another book. What is the second composition? Anyone remembers? Narottam Das Thakur. One is Prarthana, which is famous. Forgot the second one. But the two compositions, whole day he will sing that. And he had learnt all this under another personality whose name was also Narottam Babaji Maharaj. So whole childhood of Vamsidas Babaji, he used to go to the kutir of Narottam Das Babaji, and from there he got his love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. So he appeared in a place called Majidpur in Bangladesh, East Bengal. And from there he came to Navadvip. And he started living in the banks of the Ganges, in a place called Baral Ghat in Navadvip, in a small secluded hut. Now, because he was living in the same time duration as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also manifesting his pastimes in the planet, he was very respected. And he was provided grains by the Gaudiya Math. The Gaudiya Math disciples used to look after his food from time to time. But he was not very conventional. As I said, his external demeanor was like a mad person, a crazy person. In Unmad, transcendental madness all the time. The only possessions he had was his cowpin, and he had a kamandalu, and he had his kantimala. That's all he had, nothing else. And his whole world centered around his six deities were there. Whole world was centered around his six deities. Who were the deities? Lord Gauranga, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Radha, Rani, Lord Krishna, and Gopal. These were the six deities. That was the whole world for him. He had no other person. Six deities, Kaupin, Kamandal, and Kantimala. Bas, that's all. Nothing else he had in his life, right? And for the service of these deities, he had two brass pots, some earthen pots, one plate, one glass, some small cups, panchapatra, bell, conch shell. That's all. Okay. Basic. That was his whole life, worshipping his deities. Now, every morning he will go and collect flowers, right? And then he will do bhiksha. And then he will come back and he will start talking to his deities. Now, only people who understood a specific type of Bengali, it is not conventional Bengali, he used to talk a very specific dialect of Majidpur. Those people knew what he was talking to the deities. But he will continuously keep on talking his deities throughout the day. Not only throughout the day, throughout the night also. He used to continue talking to them, right? And then he used to bring these flowers, and then he used to string garlands, and he used to cook. Now, his cooking was not like, you know, timing and all. There was no timing. There was no sense of time. His cooking was very, used to go on and on and on and on, like that. Slowly he'll cut, he'll talk. Then whenever his mood comes, he will cook, like that. So, in deep contemplation, and whole day he'll be singing and talking to his deities. So, by that time he used to cook, it was late evening. And then he used to offer bhoga to his deities. So, one day he incidentally offered at 9:30 morning, bhoga. So, some devotees said, very good, Babaji. First class, you know, you are offering at 9:30 a.m. in the morning itself today. He said, is it 9:30 a.m. in the morning? Huh? What is day? I don't know. Is it daytime? Is it night time? He is asking. So, he did not know 9:30. Maybe it was the previous day's bhoga being offered at 9:30 in the morning. So, he said, it's in India, we say, you know, in Bombay, when the train comes up on time, it is the previous day's train. Like that. So, 9:30 in the morning, he is saying that, you know, what 9:30, you know. So, he had no sense of time. He says, and he told his brahmachari, what is day? What is time? Nothing like that. He said. So, he went away. I don't understand what this madman is speaking. Like that. So, whole night, he was awake talking and singing. Now one day what happened? One lady came there and she was selling fish. So she came to Babaji. And Babaji, because in Majidpur, he came from fisherman family. So he had a spontaneous attraction for fish because of childhood. Like that. Childhood practice. Like that. Okay. Obviously he had given up fish. Right? Exalted Paramahamsa. But he saw this fish and this lady said, nice fish I have caught. So Babaji saw this fish and for a fraction of a second, he tempted. What a fish. Nice to eat. Tell me. Babaji got that. But moment Babaji got that thought, he went into a fit of anger. On who? On himself? No. On his deities. He said, you rascals, how come you can give me this thought? Whole life I am serving you. Still such thoughts are coming to my mind. He started blasting his deities as if they were responsible for this. And what he did, in the fit of anger, he tied the deities to a rope and he threw the deities in the Ganges such that only their feet were up. They were immersed inside the water. Torture to the deities. How dare you did this to me? And what happened? Some Gaudiya Mutt Brahmacharis were walking past. They said, oh, Shiv. No, Vishnu. What is this? This is not correct, no? This is not in the Pancharatri Vidhi. How the deities should be worshipped. Who will tie their deities and throw them in the water? They said, what is this? And then when they told, they went and immediately reported to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, none of you will go near the Babaji. Stay away from him. No association with him. Like that. And then one man still went to Babaji and inquired, Babaji, what are you doing? This is not correct as per Pancharatri Vidhi. This is not the way to do deity worship. Babaji, how he responded? He took the nearest stone that was there and he threw it at the Brahmacharya. He ran away from there. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati then called all his disciples. He said, why you go there and meddle with him? So he told, none of you will go anywhere near him now. And then, obviously, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I am giving you a reason why. Not you should not associate with them. But don't mistake it in the other way. Okay? He said, you have no qualification to associate with him. You have no qualification to associate with him. You will not understand his mood towards him. And therefore, you will go and commit offenses. Telling him, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and all those things. He is a Paramahamsa. So, don't go near him only. Okay? Otherwise, your devotional life will get ruined. So, don't go next near him like that. So, he was left alone like that. Just go. Any service is there. Keep the plate. Come from there. Don't talk to him. Just come like that. So, this was the instruction. Still one another Brahmachari went there. Another stone came to flying towards him and then he never went after that. Now, Babaji had this habit. He will never lock the door of his kutir. Always kutir was open. So, somebody asked Babaji, why you are not locking kutir door? So much boga and all that, offerings which come, donations come like that. Babaji said, if the owner of the house, these six people, they are the owner of the house. If they cannot keep a watch, then it is not my responsibility. No? If somebody is giving them something, they have to take care. Why I have to take care? Like that he is saying. So, I am not going to do all those things. I don't have time for locking the house and all those things. So, and then what he did, Babaji left all the three keys with the deities only. He said, I have given them the keys. They have to lock if they want. That was his mood. So, once somebody gave gold necklace to the deity. Obviously, the thief was watching. Babaji did not lock the door. Gold, how does it matter to Babaji, whether it is gold or not? Right? They have to take care. So, therefore, he left the door open. Thief came. Thief took the gold necklace. And thief ran away. In the evening, Babaji came. So, somebody told Babaji, golden necklace was given and it has got stolen. So, what did Babaji do? Babaji did not get angry at the thief. Who he got angry on? Deities. He said, you. Complete scolding to the deities. How dare you can do like that? No. You don't know how to protect your own golden ornaments? Useless. Good for nothing. You are taking care of this whole world. You can't protect one, your own ornaments. No. Who are you? Like that. So, deities used to also get scared. Babaji, like that. So, Then Babaji said, okay. But still after some time, Babaji sat like that. And then he got a hint. Ah, I know who has stolen. He know who can do this. Small place. Correct. So he went and caught the thief. So when he asked the thief, oh, give that, you know, golden ornament back like that. The thief said, what golden ornament? The Babaji said, you give deities. The thief started hitting Babaji. Physically hitting Babaji. And actually he threw Babaji from the veranda and Babaji got hurt. But Babaji just went to ask for the golden necklace. He will not fight with anyone. So he said, okay. And he came back. It is said that the thief died. And his entire family died after that. Babaji didn't do anything. Right? Now, Babaji had another habit, you know, unique habit. That sometimes the pots also used to get stolen. The cooking pots. Now, when the pots get stolen, what did Babaji do again? Who was getting punishment? Deities. Once, Lord Gaur Nitai's both pots were stolen. Babaji said, I am not cooking. You didn't take care of your pots. No cooking, no food for you today. And Lord Nityananda got scared. So it's Lord Nityananda went out and he looked, went around looking for his pot. He caught the thief and the thief somehow, in spite of the thief, thief came back and gave the pot. The pot is given. So Babaji cooked nice feast for Lord Nityananda because he was starving. And he fed Lord Nityananda. And Gaurang Mahaprabhu was watching. Mahaprabhu said, what about me? He said, why? You don't get any food today. You go and get your pot first. So Mahaprabhu was watching. Nityananda was nicely eating. So then Mahaprabhu also said, I have to do something. So he also went out. He caught the thief. Another thief came back. Another pot came back. And then Babaji started cooking. But then poor, you know, he, deities are hungry, no? Full time. What to do? Babaji started crying. Babaji told deities, why you rascals do like this? you know how much I love you. You know, why you people have to be hungry like this? Next time you have to take care. And then Gaur Nitai said, okay, we will take care from next time. We will not, this mistake will not happen again. Full reverse thing is happening here now. We ask Aparadha Shama. And deities are asking, they are saying the offense, Aparadha prayers. We will not make this mistake again. Full reverse. Okay, so in February 1941, it is said that Vamsidas Babaji left Navadvip and he went to Vrindavan and he was traveling everywhere. So he traveled to many parts, you know, like that, many holy dhams. Now, everywhere that Babaji went, he remained absorbed in chanting the holy names and meditating on Radha Krishna's transcendental forms. Sometimes he will laugh loudly, sometimes he will babble incoherently, or sometimes he will go completely silent. So nobody was able to understand or predict his mood. And traveling like this, he came to Jagannath Puri. And that was Rath Yatra was going on. The moment Vamsidas Babaji came there, Rath car stopped. And Vamsidas Babaji went to the deities and started talking in that same Bengali, Majidpur Bengali. Nobody would understand what he was talking. The Rath cart would not move till Vamsidas Babaji, he was having some conversation, no prayer and all, some conversation, maybe I don't know whether he was chastising the deities, but some conversation was happening. And then the deities started moving only after Vamsidas Babaji finished this conversation, like that, right? So this was another chamatkar that he showed. Now, we said that his behavior was absolutely unconventional. So obviously, who will get instructions from Babaji? Anyone used to go, like many, Gaur Keshavdas Babaji also. People went for blessings. He said, you want blessings? Okay, renounce and come and sit with me in the public lavatory. If you want to renounce, like that. He's very heavy and nobody, they will disappear from there. Next time they will not come for blessings, like that. So what blessings do you want? Babaji used to ask. So like that, what used to happen is that, Babaji was always like that, like an avadut, okay, very unconventional in behavior. But people still sometimes used to come to him, and when Babaji started instructing those people, suddenly he became very different. He became very conventional, and he used to speak like an erudite scholar, like that. He could do that also, right? So someone came and asked him one day a question: Babaji, what is the greatest danger in life? And what did Babaji say? The greatest danger is committing offenses unto the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Right? Now, and then he went away. Now, there was one more person who said that Babaji is answering all these things now. So, let me also go and ask. So, he went and asked Babaji. Babaji showed him away. He asked Babaji, he wanted to ask Babaji, Babaji, I want to see Bhagavan, he said. Babaji said, go. Babaji didn't see sincerity. But he was relentless. So, he again and came to Babaji. Babaji said, go away. But he came again and again and again. And then one day, Babaji got irritated with him. Irritated or transcendently irritated, I don't know. Or whether Babaji thought right time to give the answer. So he again said, Babaji, I want to see Bhagavan. Babaji said, then weep. He said, that's all. Only one word. Like Banu Maharaj gives one line answer, no? Like that. Weep. He said, that's all. So this was the only instruction Babaji gave. If you want to see Bhagavan, we have to cry. Nayanam galadashru dharaya vadanam gadgadharuddhayagira pulakair nichitam papukada tava nama grihane bhavishyati. Even if he roughly handles you by his embrace and is not present before us, we can attain him only if we weep in that viraha tap, which is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose of descent, the descent of Channa Avatara, to give that mood. The final days of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he went back to Majidpur, where he was born. And he spent the last years of his earthly pastimes on the banks of a river in Majidpur. Babaji's appearance day today on the Shukla Chaturthi of Shravan. So he unwound his pastimes in this material world. Srila Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai,
Jai Nitai Gaurav Premanand.